life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.
What's happening? It's Man v Feud, the countdown of Manga Entertainment's UK VHS releases in the order of their SKU numbers, with me and Anthony Askew. No guests. Hello. They ran off. They had other things better to do than read lists of anime titles.
What could be better?
I know. Particularly because I actually did all the work this time, as opposed to starting the episode and realizing, oh, I forgot to look those things up. We start with Man V 1179, 10th of February 1997. It is Volume 1 of Blue Sonnet. Ever see Blue Sonnet, Anthony?
Blue Sonnet? I've not. It's not something I've even heard of.
Yeah, see, I've heard of it because back in Anime England days, someone used to have a screen name related to it. But is what they say. She is the Taran organization's newest and most deadly cyborg. A young girl rescued from the hellish slums of America and warped into a superhuman capable of defeating an armies. Cybernetic implants have multiplied her speed and strength, increased her intelligence, raised her latent psychic powers to devastating levels. Sonnet Baggy, codenamed Blue Sonnet, has become a living weapon. ... That's how exciting it is.
Serious, yeah.
So, the OVAs were originally released in Japan in 1989. So, what better time to release them with a UK dub now produced in Cardiff, apparently. That's from what I learnt from reading a review of this on Anime News Network. In 1997. Yeah, what better time? Because what the problem was, as I understand, as I had understood and then forgotten, and then understood again today, is basically putting Ghost in the Shell out ate up so much money. And so...
Oh, then I had to pick up a load of...
Yeah.
This stuff.
Yeah, or put out all those box sets we had last episode. Of like, old stuff in collections again. Yeah, and now they've moved their dubbing out of London to Cardiff.
Does that mean all the voices were Welsh? Welsh accents?
I don't know. I don't think I've seen anything of this era.
The golden year.
Going back through the... No, I've not seen any of these things. As the thing we discussed last episode, I was just buying... ADV stuff at this point, and carrying on buying volumes of Urusei Yatsura. Even they may have started drying up as well in the UK releases. And I'd... At 97, yeah, I must have got my NTSC-compatible VHS player at this point, so I was probably buying US VHS tapes either on... No, it can't be online because it wasn't online at this point. Must have been mainly at cons, I guess.
Cons, yeah.
Or over the phone. Maybe over the phone. 99, I definitely rang up places and said, I'd like to order too many volumes of Urusei Yatsura at once, please.
Would there be like a premium rate telephone line as well?
No. It'd just be their local line. Yep, so not seen this.
No rush to watch it.
Well, I mean, it's curious in that it's a shoujo comic, I believe, being adapted, so it's like it sounds like a storyline of anything else manga were putting out in the 90s, but it probably has a slightly different tone. But no, I'm not in desperate to hunt it. It's not something people are saying, you've not seen Blue Sonnet, you got to see Blue Sonnet. And we've already talked about the 10th of February UK box office and charts on the previous episode, so we can move on to 1180, which is not found. Don't know if anything got released under that number, I suspect not. 81 was Volume 2 of Makiyu Senjo. But then, really showing how... strapped for cash, manga were in 1997. we get Man V 1182, Mean and Mercenary. Are you familiar with Mean and Mercenary, Anthony?
No.
50 minutes of all the best fight scenes from your manga video releases.
Oh. Did it have, was it edited in a way that...
I've not seen it. I believe so. Because on the listing I found, it says music by Silverfish and the editor is Danny Davis. So I assume they were the ones who mixed it all.
Interesting, because it's like a... Well, it's an AMV, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. 50-minute AMV.
Somebody getting paid. Probably not very much, but it's quite interesting.
It feels almost like Mean and Mercenary is describing the reasons it was released. apparently this contained excerpts from Fist of the North Star, Crying Freeman, Angel Cop, Mad Bull, Violence Jack, Ghost in the Shell, Street Fighter 2, Cyber City Oedo, Goku Midnight Iron, Wicked City... It has surprisingly good reviews on Amazon, except at least two of them say, shame it hasn't got any Ninja Scroll on it.
Which is a fair point.
It is a fair point.
Yeah.
But definitely tells you both what people were buying manga videos for in the 90s and also that Ninja Scroll was perfect for that audience.
To be honest, is this exactly the kind of thing I'd maybe buy? Again, all the fighting in one place.
I mean, I'd laugh at it now, but think how many people... There's is it Sakagaburo, the thing which is just gif upon gif of cool-looking animation? It's I think there is an audience for the hardcore Sakuga fan. They'd also have to...
Yeah, definitely.
If you're going to put it out, you've got to tell me exactly... They'd have to be told exactly who was animating each section, but...
Yeah, just stick the animator's name in a subtitle at the bottom.
Yeah.
Lap that up.
Yeah, it does feel weird to have laughed about it, and I'm still laughing at it now, but yeah, for then to the sort of a piece of anime culture, this is definitely the thing they would want there.
Yeah.
Maybe not soundtracked to Silverfish, though.
Would I know Silverfish?
No, you would not.
Right. Right, okay.
They were a... British punk band who flirted with getting in the charts. I don't know if they managed to get in the charts. Except this is not that Silverfish, apparently. This is a different Silverfish. I don't even know that one. Or maybe it is. I don't know. No, I don't. Okay, the description is... maybe the IMDb, because they've got three listings.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is performer and then lists three of their songs, for sure. I don't know whether this is the same Silverfish now. I'm confused.
You'll never know.
No, I'll never know unless somehow. I buy... No, it's not even for sale on Amazon. Sometimes there's VHS cassettes up there.
Yeah. Somebody must be selling this for a mint. It seems like something people... Because it feels so unique. Let's check eBay.
Yeah, it's just what I was doing as well. Mean and Mercenary now. I was getting loads of copies of Sean McFate's The Modern Mercenary.
Yeah. I put VHS at the end. No. And nope.
So it must be a manga rarity at this point.
Yeah. Interesting.
Came out on the 10th of March 1997, I think. I say because all I could find was March 1997. I could find other things which say it came out in 99. But the other things came out on the 10th of March 1997. So let's say it did. And the top of the charts in 10th of March 1997 was a double A-side by the Spice Girls. Nice. Mama and Who Do You Think You Are?
Know them well.
I don't remember either of them.
Oh, you must do.
It's like
Mama's a really sad, emotional song they sing about their mother. Like, Mama,
I assume they're mothers. They're not all the same mother.
Oh, they are. They're sisters, the Spice Girls. Baby Spice, Sporty Spice. They've all got the same surname.
Okay, I stand corrected, Anthony.
And Who Do You Think You Are? It's like a, who do you think you are? Do you think you are?
How have you not heard them?
I probably have heard them. I don't remember them. And
it was huge.
This is the one of the ones I didn't go back and listen to, because there was one we'll get to, which I was like,
right,
I'm sure I've heard that. But I was singing it to myself in my head, and then I played the YouTube video, and I was like, this doesn't sound anything like what I was singing to myself in my head.
Oh, they're the best ones.
The number one movie is Jerry Maguire. I've nice. Never seen it.
Oh, I saw it, like, way later.
Well, I imagine. How old were you at this part, 1997?
Well, I was 10.
Yeah, I can't imagine a 10-year-old wanting to go and see Jerry Maguire.
Nah, I quite like Tom Cruise, I think. I know I like Tom Cruise now, so perhaps I have changed, but it's a good film.
I'm not sure I'm not sure there is a film I like Tom Cruise in.
there's got to be. What about that Edge of Tomorrow? Did you ever see that?
I do. Yeah, I guess. Do I like him in it, though? That is the question.
So you quite like the film, but whether you like him...
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah, he's got a weird charisma, you know? It feels like...
Do you not trust it?
Yeah.
That's fake.
Yeah. It feels like someone has seen somebody with charisma and is doing their best impression of it.
Oh, I'm never going to be able to unsee that now, whenever I see him.
I think it's true, because what's the thing Jimmy Carr did to make himself more confident? It's that. It's, and I've heard people...
Jimmy Carr did like a thing, like a seminar kind of thing, like a training scheme.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called now. It's the thing where you repeat people's names lots and lots of times as you're talking to them. And I've heard tell that Tom Cruise is definitely does that when he meets a new person.
Well, I'm a big nameseer and I've never... It's just something I've done. Because I forget names quite easily, so maybe it's a subconscious thing.
Oh, yeah, you should do it, but not like how they do it, you know.
Ah, okay. Okay, Brian. Yeah. I understand, Brian.
Yeah. That sort of thing.
I'm confident. I've got that Cruise confidence.
So there you go. That's my thoughts on Tom Cruise.
You'd like Jerry Maguire, though. Just
it's Cameron Crowe as well. I'm not sure I liked anything Cameron Crowe related. I'm going to say I'd probably
Vanilla Sky.
I mean, it's got I do like your female lead, Renée Zellweger. I do like her in things.
Yeah.
Though it's been a while since I've seen her in things. But yeah, not in a rush to see Jerry Maguire. Next up, we've got 1183, which was Gelforce New Era 2, 1184 Macross Plus Volume 4. I feel like there was a big gap between 3 and 4. And then 1185, you got Blue Sonnet Volume 2. And then 1186, we're back to something new, Shadow Skill. 14th of April 1997 it was released. Original release 1995, another manga UK dub. This time you could see it was in Cardiff on the Anime News Network listing, because it does mention that was where it was recorded. And it says on the box, in a war-torn world of deadly conflict, one small group of heroes stands against the forces of darkness, armed with only two weapons: their unswerving dedication to good and the superhuman martial art known as Shadow Skill. For 14-year-old Gao, it is time once again for him to return to the graves of his parents, murdered by bandits when he was just 10. In the company of his elder sister Ella, Gao quickly comes to realize that his journey is more than just a pilgrimage, and that his combat abilities as a student of the Karuda School of Martial Arts are about to be pushed to their breaking point. Anthony, this seems like something you'd have seen.
It is. I've seen, I think, 2 or 3 episodes, and I can't remember what happens.
Have you seen the TV?
I remember the...
Is that what you've seen? Because this is the OVA. This is the first OVA.
Oh, right. Yeah, I've seen a bit of the TV show, if that's the case. And there's nothing I dislike. I don't remember disliking it, but I don't know whether it was a case of I couldn't get access to the rest of the series at the time for whatever reason. But yeah, I'm trying to think. Because I like the look of the main, like, the characters I quite like.
They're very 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
I think all I've... Niles played one of the fights at one of his Hell in the Cells, I believe.
Maybe we should watch it.
Maybe we should at some point.
Not the series.
No, but we could check out the first OVA.
Yeah.
See if we like it. Oh, let's turn that to green on the old spreadsheet. It's been a while since we've turned anything to green on the spreadsheet, to be honest. Let's add the fill. You're green now, Shadow Skill. You're going on the list.
Yes.
And in the charts, number one was R. Kelly's I Believe I Can Fly.
That must be number one for ages.
Ooh,
I remember hearing that being played everywhere. All the time, everywhere.
It has been played a lot. People tend not to play it quite so much now that everybody knows that R. Kelly is a super mega creep, even though they've been told repeatedly. It's now hard to ignore, even though everybody knew. But yeah, and this is up from the soundtrack of which film, Anthony?
I don't know. Is it obvious?
I bet there's people of a certain age, your age, screaming at you.
Believe I Can Fly. Is it like a basketball?
It is a basketball film. 90s basketball film. What would you say the most popular 90s basketball film is?
Oh, Space Jam.
Yes.
Oh, shit. I'm sure I've mentioned this before. I had the other single that released at the same time that was sang by the Monsters. I'm sure I've mentioned this on the podcast.
I think you have mentioned it before, yes.
And I'm sure it was like Method Man or someone, and they were like pretending to be the... Because Space Jam had the Monsters, who were the bad team.
Yeah.
And they sang their own song. Because, you know, I wouldn't go into a shop and buy R. Kelly. So I would buy the Monsters one instead.
Hit 'em high. Open brackets. Hit the em. Monstars anthem.
That's the one. I can't remember how it sounds. It's probably so bad. But I don't even know why I would buy that.
I mean, it's got an all-star lineup. It has Be Real, Busta Rhymes, Coolio, LL Cool J, and Method Man.
Nice. I remember the cover. In fact, I've got it up now. Yeah. They've got the pictures of the rappers along the top of the cover, and then the monsters that they kind of play in the track.
Do they play them in the...
I don't know if they do in the film, but in the track.
I've never seen Space Jam.
I've seen it obviously back then, but I would have to maybe rewatch. I don't think that's going to happen. But yes, I didn't have I Believe I Can Fly. That's so funny.
I'm just trying to see if I can see how long it was in the charts. There we go. R. Kelly, artist chart history. It's all been deleted. No. Okay, well, if you want to find out, look it up yourselves. I'm not doing it for you. Right. And number one in the film charts was The Empire Strikes Back.
Eh? Did it get a re-release?
It did, yes.
Ah, I remember vaguely.
Yeah, I keep on hearing it mentioned every so often because obviously you can't escape Star Wars at the moment.
No, and for the rest
of your life. They did get a cinema re-release in 97. It was the special edition. So, yeah.
Oh, God. And that wasn't very well received, was it?
No, but obviously enough people still went to see it.
Oh, yeah, it's Star Wars at the end of the day.
But yeah, the previous weeks, it had been the first Star Wars. I don't know whether Return of the Jedi followed it.
Mm.
So obviously must have been releasing them a couple of weeks at a time, one after another.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it would have been the 20th anniversary. Yeah, it would have been the 20th anniversary, wasn't it, 97?
Ah, see, I thought it was going to be the lead up to episode one, but that's way later, isn't
it?
Yeah,
that's 99.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was taken in by that.
What, were you excited for episode one?
I was. Yes, too. I think my excitement had probably disappeared by the time it came out, but I was excited because I didn't see it in the cinema. But yeah, I bought action figures and I bought Star Wars Lego, but not Star Wars Lego of the prequels. It was Star Wars Lego of Star Wars. Just because I was amused. That was back when the Star Wars Lego used to be properly Lego skinned rather than weird human flesh coloured skins.
That's pretty interesting. So you were a Jar Jar Binks fan, like, before you knew the truth?
No, I can't remember what did I buy. Actually, did I buy any action figure? I must have bought one. I probably bought Darth Maul. That would be the thing to do, wouldn't it, in 99? Before you'd seen the film, you see that character design and you go, oh, he looks cool.
He's the best.
Got to have him. My brother had a lot more, but then he was 4 years younger than me. So is that kind of an excuse? Probably not an excuse in 99. No, it's not. Spending his student loan on Star Wars action figures. Yeah, definitely not an excuse. But no, he'd even got the... Because they had like bases with chips in where they'd say things if you bought the thing which allowed them to say things.
Oh,
so you'd like wave them over this communicator thing and it would play some lines of dialogue.
He said Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, he didn't have Jar Jar Binks.
Oh.
He had... he had Darth Maul, he had your Anakin Skywalker, C-3PO, and Obi-Wan Kenobi. But I probably still have them here somewhere, lurking in a box.
What, his actual ones?
His actually one. His actual ones, right. Yeah.
We might have to get them listed on eBay, because aren't they still sell?
I suspect there is so many of them that they won't.
Oh, right, perhaps.
Because I suspect there was a lot of suckers out there who bought multiples of them, thinking, I'm onto something here. This is Star Wars. Those old Star Wars toys are collector's items now. So therefore, I shall buy loads of them, and then I shall be rich in 20 years' time. But the problem is, if everybody does that, then nobody gets rich, because there's no rare ones.
Yeah.
Then, Man V 1187, Armageddon... 8th of September 1997. We're now getting ones which aren't released in the orders that their codes are, so we'll be jumping around a bit. Not to be confused with the Michael Bay Armageddon, still the worst film I've ever paid money to see in the cinema. using both computer rendering and traditional cell techniques, Armageddon represents the cutting edge of animation, says the video box, not me. 4 billion years ago, in the Andromeda Nebula, an ambitious project was launched. An ancient race of aliens, seeing there was no other intelligent life in the universe, set to their massive supercomputers the task of seeding more races that could grow to sentience. The project was known as the Omega Problem. Program, not problem. Omega Program. The human race was the result of this project. But humans were not the only race to grow from the Omega program, and lurking in the future is the deadliest threat the human race has ever faced. In time, the products of this program are destined to clash in violent opposition. Hopelessly outnumbered by the technologically superior enemy, Earth has one last hope. The secret failsafe of the Omega program, the Delta Boy, living avatar of the supercomputer that began life on Earth. His only problem is staying alive long enough to save his future and that of all humanity. This is a Korean animation, not a Japanese animation. The plot also sounds a lot like a lot of 1970s science fiction in the wake of Chariot of the Gods. That nonsense. Ancient Aliens type.
Oh, yes.
That's basically where Ancient Aliens... got its foothold of bad science. Yeah, because it's quite a bit like the Celestials in Marvel Comics that Jack Kirby created. Like saying, oh, space gods made us, and they also made other alien races, and they're a threat. Dun dun yeah. dun. Also, Delta Boy almost sounds like a Jack Kirby type name.
Delta Boy. Well, I've got a cover up here, and unfortunately, it's in Polish, but it's got Mamoru Oshii's name on the cover.
I think you're thinking of an entirely different film there.
Oh. Well, it looks like it could be. It looks like it could be what you've just described. But obviously, it's not if it's. Because he could be Delta Boy, whoever's this.
No, that's.
This man is.
No.
Oh, well. Puts an end to that.
Oh, it could be, but I don't know why Mamoru Oshii's name would be on it. Let's send me the link, Anthony.
Hold on.
Because it definitely is a half-naked boy on the cover.
There's Skype. Because I mean, I could just translate the Polish by putting it in somewhere, but let's see if I can get it zoomed in. Film has the word film in front of it, and then...
Yeah, that is it. I don't know where you're getting...
You can see that, though, can't you?
I can. Yeah, okay, yeah. It's, yeah, I don't know why it's got Mamoru Oshii's name on it.
In English. It means co-worker. Film co-worker Mamoru Oshii. So, I don't know. Did he like it and tell somebody that he quite liked it?
Someone stuck a sticker on it and, it wasn't supposed to go on it, maybe.
Interesting.
I don't know. As far as I know, he doesn't have anything to do with it, but I could be wrong. The reason I was confused is because I believe there is a Mamoru Oshii film that is in Polish. One of his live-action ones is Avalon, I think. Is that in Polish?
Let's have a look.
Yes, there you go.
Avalon.
Yeah, directed by Mamoru Oshii. It is a Polish-language Japanese film.
Interesting. Unless that cover is post-Avalon and it somehow references that he worked on Avalon, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I have no idea what his name's stuck on the cover there for.
I bet it's fooled people. It might be good. Maybe it is.
Who knows? I've not seen it.
No.
This has a anime's dub, a US dub. And the original release was in 1996. The UK number one at this time was The Drugs Don't Work by Verve. Or The Verve, as they're known in
America. I was going to just about to ask that. I was going to say, I've always known them as The Verve.
Yeah, I think maybe at some point they just decided to make it easier. No, I think they added the.
Oh, they added the Verve.
Or did they drop the Verve? I know one way is...
They dropped the Verve. They're just the...
Okay, they were Verve. They were Verve. And they added the for the US market, and then they maybe just kept it.
Nah.
Because it was the usual case of, there's already a... it was legal difficulties with a jazz label, Verve Records, in their case.
Right, so the is still present.
Yes, so they were... They became The Verve in 1994. Hmm. But they are listed as Verve on the UK charts site. So.
Yeah.
Maybe you just keep your first name on there. Anyway, definitely remember this song.
Yeah.
And the number one film at the time was Austin Powers' International Man of Mystery.
Never got into Austin Powers. Never saw eye to eye. I was probably a bit young.
Yeah, the first film... I mean, I really like the first film, and then diminishing returns on the sequels. Increasingly diminishing returns on the sequels.
See, I find the sequels a little funnier because I think I was getting a little bit older, and the jokes are probably
grosser,
less smart,
broader,
stupider.
Yeah,
exactly. So it appealed to me much more than the first one did. Austin Powers.
Yeah. Did anyone celebrate its 20th anniversary last year? It felt like it passed without comment.
I mean, who would dare celebrate it? Like, not. I just think it would be a weird thing.
It was really big at the time. At least, well, it wasn't really big in its initial release. It was really big on its VHS release. But obviously, it got number one in the UK. I think maybe the UK were more into it than America were.
Possibly.
I think it is one of those ones where it snowballed in popularity over the year of its release. Because I think it was 99 was the sequel.
Yeah, that's why it shagged me. Which, that in itself was a phenomenon for me, because nobody would say the name on television and stuff.
Is that
and
right?
It would always be blacked out. And I'd never known that.
I bought action figures of that as well.
Wow.
God. Maybe 1999 was the peak of my... it's definitely the peak of my spending money I shouldn't have been spending. Because that was also the year I bought those too many volumes of Eurosciences Era in one go. But yes, it's... I think not so good. I bought the VHS in 99 of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh yeah, that's really funny. I'll go and see the sequel. And I saw both sequels in the cinema. But
yeah, I think I saw Goldmember in the cinema. Did I? No. I can't have done, because is it a 15?
Ooh.
I maybe could have snuck in. I think I maybe did sneak in. Kind of being like 14 or something. I don't know.
The UK release deleted the Princess Diana joke from the theatrical release as the film was released on the week of her death.
Sorry, which one was the...
The first one, yeah.
Oh. Uh-oh. That's got Tom Cruise in it, Goldmember.
It does, yes.
I forgot. Maybe I should revisit Austin Powers. Maybe I would like the first one more now.
You might do. Also, yeah, the Goldmember was also going to launch Beyoncé's acting career, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, she was in it. Was she in much more following?
Maybe she decided against it. Filmography, let's have a look.
She's in a fair few.
I assume Fighting Temptation was probably organised around the same time they were organising her film career, because then there's like a gap of 3 years after that.
This isn't working out, Beyoncé. I don't remember her being particularly bad or anything in Goldmember.
But... No, because you're too focused on Mike Myers being disgusting. It's like, oh, we introduced one disgusting character in the first sequel. Let's add another disgusting character in the second one.
Which one? The disgusting one? Goldmember himself? Or...
Yeah.
Mm.
And obviously Fat Bastard was the disgusting character.
Which I think he's way better than Goldmember. I really remember laughing at
Fat. But at the same time, it's just another excuse to roll out his Scottish accent.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I know is like a tribute to his dad, but
interesting.
But he just had a habit of so many times rolling it out. Next up is Man V 1188 Detonator Organ from 14th of July 1997. This I remember being on the shelves a lot. So maybe nobody was buying it. 2292 AD, Earth is finally at peace, guarded by the ever-vigilant Earth Defense Force. Bored with a life of automated luxury amidst the glittering towers of Artificial City 5, student Tomoro Shindo saves the adventure and excitement of the past, or savers, I believe that should read. But while he loses himself in the virtual reality dreams, a vast race of lethal machine warriors has chosen Earth as their next target for invasion. Tomoru is about to be given more adventure than he can handle. Earth's only hope of survival is the Detonator Organ Unit, a renegade cybernetic soldier being rebuilt within the EDF headquarters. constructed from alien data by the beautiful Professor Kanzaki. All Orgon needs to function is a pilot, and that pilot must be Toboro Shindo. Combining red-hot mecha action with stunning animation and technical design, Detonator Orgon is science fiction anime at its best. The battle for Earth is about to begin. So this originally came out as three OVAs in 1991, directed by Masami Obare, and this got a separate UK manga dub from the US dub. I believe they edited the three OVAs into a movie.
Okay.
You ever seen
this? I quite like the look of this. No.
Yeah,
but
I hear it looks pretty good.
It does. I like the look of that. The mech itself, it's like its helmet. It's good. It'd probably be better to watch, and I don't know what's lost in the three movie cut. The movie cut, but.
Do you mean to highlight that green as well?
Yeah, chuck green that bad boy. Green it up.
Then. This is the song that I thought I knew how it went, and then I listened to it, and I was wrong. Do You Know What I Mean by Oasis was number one at this time.
I've never heard of that. How does it sound? Are you going to...
I've lost it again.
Do you know what I mean? I'd imagine it sounds like that.
that is what I thought it sounded like. The chorus is, all my people right here, right now, do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. And that's repeated multiple times. But the verses I could not recall for the life of me.
Not one of the better known songs then. But it was enough to get to number one, I suppose. But that maybe it was just the Oasis hype in general. Or...
Yeah, I think this was probably... It's weird because their peak in the UK was obviously later than it was elsewhere.
Oh, really? What? Why is that?
I think obviously they're a local band, so therefore we liked them longer than other countries.
Oh, longer. Right. I get what you mean. Yeah. Yeah.
Oasis discography. Singles. So this was a number one in the UK. Yeah, so they're still getting number ones up to 2005. But at the same time, obviously, you're needing to sell less and less singles.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. And I quite like Oasis. Well, I like the ones that everybody else seems to like. I wouldn't like buy an album of theirs.
Yeah, this was the first of their singles from Be Here Now, so it did pretty well. Did better than their previous single, Champagne Supernova.
Which I like that song. But I suppose that doesn't dictate what it should get at the charts.
And then the number one film was Unforgettable. Which ironically, I bet neither of us can remember what Unforgettable's about.
You were going to say that? Who was in it before I Google it?
Ray Liotta.
Definitely
Linda Fiorentino. It's a John Dahl movie. Written by Bill Geddy.
It's getting further and further away from me knowing what it could be.
This article needs an improved plot summary, says Wikipedia. Let's check out what IMDb says. Oh dear, no, that's the wrong. It's different, Unforgettable from the same.
Yeah, there's one from last year or something.
Yeah, so 96 is when it must have been made.
Somebody gets framed for their wife's murder.
Yes.
He attempts to find the real culprit. Which I think, plot twist, it'll turn out to be really him. And that was where the Unforgettable part comes from.
He uses a science fiction drug that allows him to experience the memories of other people. That's how he does it.
See, that sounds really good as an idea, but could be very badly executed.
Yeah, because we talked about how it's like, oh, we keep on getting these films where we're like, how was that number one? So then I looked at what did 2007 look like? And then I saw, oh, Run, Fat Boy, Run was number one movie for an entire month in 2007. So
Was that the Ross Geller one?
That was the one.
Like, well, no, David Schwimmer, I mean.
David Schwimmer directed it, yes.
Yeah.
The Simon Pegg.
I've saw the end of that film, and it's not that bad. It's not awful.
Yeah, I think it was the point at which people believed Simon Pegg could carry a movie. All on his own. That was probably also the last time Simon Pegg could carry a movie all on his own.
Because why had he been in prior to that for someone to say?
Well, Hot Fuzz was the same year.
Ah.
I think that was number one for 3 weeks, but it took a lot more money.
I bet.
So I think it was coming off. Sure, it's probably in motion because of Shaun of the Dead. Because obviously. No, it's 2007 I'm talking about, yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
I'm saying how this, how I was like, was it still looking weird? Were there still weird number ones in 2007? And that was the thing which stood out to me as being a weird number one.
Yeah, I agree.
Righty-ho. Next up, Man V 1189, Shadow Skill the Movie, which I thought, oh, that's a movie, that's a separate thing, so I should write another entry for it. 13th of October 1997. Then I looked more deeper into it. It's just a sequel OVA series edited into a movie.
So and it is sold as the movie.
It is, yeah. Title. This is actually Shadow Skill 2, basically, which was a three-part OVA. And they said, oh, let's stick it together as a movie.
Why did they do that so often? Because I would imagine they could make more money long-term if it was three separate releases.
Yes, I think if it was ADV, they would have done. Because that's what they were doing. But they were like, but then people were like, oh, $12.99 for a half-hour OVA.
Which I get, but imagine all those people who get it, then they're super into it, and then they end up paying, what, £36 in total or whatever?
Yeah.
Over the course of three?
I don't know, but at the same time, yeah, it's like, oh, we'll release it as $5.99 tapes like you did Guyver.
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe there's
well, not... whatever they did, they probably know better than I do, so...
Well, I don't know. yes, there's another UK dub, and number one was Something About the Way You Look Tonight... / Candle in the Wind by Elton John.
Great song. Candle in the Wind, that is. I can't think what the other one is.
Yeah, no.
Unless it's not the same track, is it? It's not like
a
weird name convention thing.
This is the the new version for Diana's Death.
I've got this single. I had this. Well, my mum bought it. And I feel like everybody bought this. This must have been done so well.
We're in very different circles to me, Anthony.
And I think all the money went to charity as well.
Yes, I'm pretty sure all it did. Proceeds, yes.
So it's.
But I can't.
Well, I'm just Elton cashing in on tragedy.
I can't imagine anybody in my family or immediate circle of friends who would have bought this single.
But I mean, Elton John's great as he is. And the fact that, like, the timing of this, there's an emotional time. In my circles. It's now, a good song. Candle in the Wind is really good.
In the original version, it, I think, is. I'm not sure about this. I mean, it's very heartfelt from him. And but then again, he didn't write the lyrics, did he? Bernie writes the lyrics.
Bernie who?
Bernie Taupin, his writing partner.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, right.
Do you not know how their thing works? So, in separate rooms, Bernie writes a bunch of lyrics. He then gives them to Elton, and Elton writes music for pre-existing lyrics.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Elton John doesn't write any lyrics.
Huh. None of his tracks at all?
Not as far as I'm aware, no. If there are any, they're a rarity.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that. I always assumed he was a one-man band in that regard.
No. In fact, no. It's much older than that because of how they work of... The lyrics being written beforehand and also Elton having no input, completely separating themselves in different rooms.
It makes Candle in the Wind feel a little hollower now. I mean, I'm sure it's still very heartfelt and, you know, the lyrics are lyrics no matter how you look at it, but had he had a bit more But yeah, that single. It's in the attic, probably, or down in the cupboard downstairs somewhere.
No, so what I was doing, what I was doing during the funeral of Princess Diana was I was building the HD model kit of Evangelion Unit 00.
That's insane.
The blue one, not the yellow one.
Mm. That's just because I know exactly what I was doing. I'd watched a bit of the funeral and then I had to go and get a haircut. So I walked to the barber's, got a haircut, and I was telling the barber that my mum was crying while watching the funeral. I was only young at the time, so it was like we said it in a jokey way. But yeah, so you were doing a very different thing.
Now, I bought it specifically to do that instead of having to deal with this nonsense.
So you didn't watch the royal wedding?
No, of course not. Back? Of course not.
Oh, Brian, this is our... This is us. This is Britain. This is it's what we're about. Royalty, the royals.
Nope.
I watched a little bit of it.
Oh, I didn't watch a single second of it. In fact, I barely knew they were getting married until about.
No, it was everywhere.
Not what I look at.
Ah, perhaps not. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Not interested. The only thing I'm interested in is the Golgo 13 strip about it.
What, the royal wedding or...?
No, the death of Princess Diana.
Oh, wow. Was it done like around the time it happened?
It was done after the fact. I don't know how late. I could check. It's in one of those English translated volumes.
You've got to tell us what happens. You've got to tell
me. Well, he's... No, read it for yourself. Go and find it.
I was going to say we could be hung for discussing this.
It's not Princess Diana, but it's clearly a thinly veiled Princess Diana stand-in and Dodi Fayed stand-in. Oh, no, but much worse. I mean, if you think that was disrespectful... my brother has the on vinyl. You talk about having Candle in the Wind in your attic on vinyl or CD. Yeah. Do you buy vinyl?
CD.
CD. Okay. My brother has on vinyl. You know, Cassette Boy.
Cassette Boy. Is that the YouTube guy?
They're YouTube now. Yes.
Yeah.
So their first record was a 7-inch single called "Die and Dodie Do Die."
Wow.
Which was basically cut-ups of all various news items from Princess Diana's death and the coverage.
And I'm looking at the year. This is like the time it happened as well.
I think it's a little bit later.
Wow. I used to think those folks were funny. Now they're just bad taste.
They are bad taste. Wow. Remember, they also put out a Fly Me to New York thing in the wake of September the 11th, so...
Oh, I didn't know that. See, I've only ever seen the funny stuff they've done, not this darker side. Tisk tisk.
Yep, so you can see how me and my brother were raised. Disrespecting the royals.
You'll be beheaded for this.
Hey, I think you'll find, generally nowadays, the dynamic of who gets beheaded in a royal peasant situation tends to go the other way now.
Don't get me wrong, my family aren't like big royals or anything. I just think it was something that I was weirdly into.
Well, yeah, you're young. I think I was into the Princess Diana royal wedding through osmosis. It being a thing... People older than you are excited in, and so you're interested in their excitement. You're interested in their interest. Mm.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Your own interest.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're a cynical Gen Xer that I am. Yeah, I'm building Evangelion models, mate.
That's so funny. Oh.
And number one film at the time was Volcano.
Volcano?
Volcano.
Is that the Pierce Brosnan one?
No, that is Dante's Peak. I was about to ask you which one was your favourite, Dante's Peak or Volcano.
Actually, I remember. It's Tommy Lee Jones. Oh, I can't even remember the difference between.
I think Dante's Peak is a more realistic portrayal of a volcanic disaster than what Volcano is. I think Volcano is a volcano erupting in a place where a volcano shouldn't be.
Oh, yes. Well, if that's the case, I like the Volcano better. Because I quite like that over the top. It ends in like an underground freeway, I think. And it's like a build-up of trucks, and they climb along the trucks. And there's like lava and stuff. Or it could be Dante's Peak. I really don't know. One of them ends with like an underground road.
That's like, I don't know. I've not seen Volcano. I've only seen Dante's Peak. Volcano is a volcano erupts in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it could be that one. They're very similar. Same year as well.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That's
crazy.
Whereas Dante's Peak, I want to say, is like in a more rural, believable area.
Mm.
Yeah, they're trying to escape a corruption in an eruption in Colombia, not a corruption in Colombia.
Interesting. That's crazy. That.
Oh yeah, 4 years later.
I mean, the cover of both films, and there's other films around the same time that have that same cover style.
Well, that's the same thing nowadays. Think for the past decade, how many teal orange covers we've had.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Teal orange movies, let alone just the covers.
Yeah, true.
Linda Hamilton as well in Dante's Peak.
Oh, the one from Terminator.
Yeah, I think doesn't like a grandmother get pulled into, like, dies falling into lava, I think.
Dante's Peak. I can't remember well
enough. It didn't come out. It wasn't number one. Volcano was number one. Who cares about Dante's
Peak? Oh, yes, yeah, yeah.
Next up, Man V 1190. It is Grappler Baki. 9th of June, 1997. In the world of karate, Baki Hanma, Grappler Baki. World of karate. Baki Hanma, Grappler Baki is a complete mystery. No one knows where he came from or where he learned his fighting style, but he knows you. He knows all the fighters, their styles and their weaknesses. Did you know you were in this tournament? When you make your first move, he'll know how to block it. He can defeat an opponent with a single blow. If you blink, it's all over. Even when you lose, feel lucky that you aren't him. Now, Baki is in for the fight of his life. At the Shinshinkai organization's private arena, anything goes and the odds are always stacked against you. For the first time, Baki must fight an opponent he knows nothing, almost nothing about, Kosha Shinogi, the cord cutter. He possesses the ability to penetrate an opponent's skin, grab their cord-like nerves, and rip them out, leaving the victim paralyzed or dead. It will be Baki's greatest challenge, and possibly his last, but he might just survive if he doesn't lose his nerve first. So this was a 1994 release originally in Japan, and this has a TAJ or Taj dub, who I think went on to be the dubbing house for a lot of 4Kids things.
Mm-hmm. Something I've always wanted to watch.
Again, I think we've seen a scene of this in Niall's panel.
Yeah. It looks great.
I have not seen this. I've seen a chunk of the TV series. And then there's, of course, later in the year, there'll be a Netflix series.
Oh.
Anime series, that is. So cool. Whether we'll get that till... We may not get that till January next year or something, because it's Netflix. But that's doing the thing where it's picking up an arc much later on. So it kind of is going to be assuming you know who Baki is and what's happened before this.
Right. Okay. The manga looks so good.
It does, yes. It's
it looks so good.
Crazy muscles.
Yes.
And number one, what could be more fitting for when Grappler Baki is coming out than Mbop by the Hanson Brothers? Yeah, this may be a Verve situation. They may have just been Hanson at this point.
Oh, yeah, I always knew them as Hanson.
Yes, but it may be that they're in the database on the UK charts. They may be in as Hanson Brothers, probably because of an earlier single. Good song, I would say. It's one of those things where you didn't want to admit it that it was a good song if you No, I was probably beyond that. I think if I'd been like 4 years, maybe my brother wouldn't have wanted to admit it. I think I wasn't a teenager at this point, but I think if you're a teenager, or particularly a teenage boy, you'd be like, oh, that's no good, even though you're like, probably humming to it in secret.
I liked it. Well, I mean, it was catchy. I'm not saying I liked it back then or anything, but certainly, and if it was to come on the radio, you couldn't help but join in to a point. No matter where you were.
Yeah, that point being, at least the bits which are just nonsense words, they're quite easy to sing along to. But yeah, they were ridiculously young at this point, weren't they?
Are they doing anything now?
Yeah, they're still around. Still like, one's in a...
Surely.
I'm sure where they show... Hanson Band. They are... Yeah, Taylor Hanson is the one who's in a lot of things. He's also the lead singer of supergroup Tinted Windows.
Not heard of them. God, they look so old now. Well, no, they look like adults.
Yeah, they look like adults.
But, just strange. So, some people I've never heard about. Sorry, never thought about for years, and then see them now.
They're all still younger than me, though, so...
Oh, okay.
There's the problem.
I'll stay quiet then.
They may all be older than you.
They are. They are. Thank God. Thank God.
Righty-ho. And also in the film charts, the number one film was Con Air.
Great film. Really big fan of Con Air.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I'd say it's...
Good cast.
Yeah, I feel like it's probably worse than I remember.
Don't rewatch it then if that's the case. Just stick with it. Stick with your memory. But I'm sure I rewatched it at someone's house not that long ago. And it was still...
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's probably still well-made and well-acted. I'm just betting there's certain plot points which probably played better in 1997 than they do in 2018.
Like when they crash the plane into Las Vegas Strip.
I was thinking more of the comedy paedophile character.
See, he has quite a serious... I know what you mean, comedic, at least at the beginning, but then he has like a very weird moment where it's just him and a girl, and it's creepy. But I like it. I like that film. Look at that cast. Got all the who's who of 97.
The who's who of people you would have employed in 1997 but may think twice about employing in 2018.
Hi, Nicolas Cage. Great.
I mean, he's going to be in that Teen Titans Go movie, so that'll probably be the next thing I see him in.
Nice.
Finally gets to play Superman.
Is that what he's doing?
Yeah, he's playing Superman in the Teen Titans Go film.
Oh. Nice.
Then we got Man V 1191, Tokyo Revelation. This came out on the 11th of August, 1997. Get ready. A satanic computer program is activated aboard a packed commercial flight bound for Tokyo, releasing a swarm of invisible demons that send the aircraft plunging to a fiery doom. Everyone aboard is killed instantly, everyone except for Akito Kobayashi, owner of the devilish program and sworn ally to hell itself. Okay. More to come. A week later, student Kojiro Soma is surprised to see Akito enroll as a new pupil. The lonely boy he befriended in elementary school has grown into a suave and arrogant teenager. But it is only later, when his classmates are attacked and legendary demons return to stalk the streets of Tokyo, that Kojiro begins to truly understand what his old friend has become. Bum, 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 bum. This is something I have never seen.
No.
I'm not even sure I heard of it until I was producing this list. Not even ever seen it. I'm not sure I've ever seen it in the shops.
Let's have a look. It doesn't look familiar. There's some weird wolf men in it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Some weird wolf men.
Which I thought they were wearing trousers, but it looks like they're wearing, like, Egyptian shawl. Like, okay, kinda. Yeah.
From the description, I was a little suspicious. I was like, demonic computer program. Is this? Yes, it is. It is part of Megami Tensei.
Right, okay.
The thing which Persona's a spin-off of.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe I had heard of it in relation to that. Shin Megami Tensei, to be precise. Literally, True Goddess Reincarnation Tokyo Revelation was its Japanese name. Literal translation. So I don't know if these are characters from the video games.
No clue.
No, it looks like there's a comic based on Shin Megami Tensei, which then got turned into this OVA.
Right.
So maybe for all you completionists, this is something for you to watch, but probably not for us.
No, I was going to say.
Digital Devil was the other one we got in the UK, which was part of that. But yeah, as soon as you say Satanic Computer Program, that's what makes me think, oh, it must be. Surely there can't be more things with Satanic Computer Programs in them.
Well, you never know. It seems like an easy plot point to work with.
This was originally released in 1995 in Japan, and this was another anime's dub. In number one in both the music and the film charts is Men in Black.
Ooh. I remember loving the film.
Yeah.
Remember the song as well? Really, really loving the film. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It tells you... I don't think it tells... Does it tell you the... I did listen to it today. It definitely contains elements of the story, but it feels like he's more describing who the Men in Black are than the actual plot of the film. Because he mentions some of the equipment. He mentions how we're going to wipe your mind.
That's how the video ends, isn't it? The actual music video for it.
Yeah.
It's him walking to the camera and... Yeah.
But yeah, I like this film a lot. I think I might have rewatched it recently. Oh, no, I didn't. No, I started watching Men in Black 3. I haven't finished watching it yet.
I don't think I've seen number 2.
That is also the case with me, I think.
Obviously, I'm saying I've seen number 3.
2's the one where Zed's retired, isn't it? Zed, is that... Or is it K?
Who's Zed?
Which one's Zed or which one's K? Who's
Tommy Lee
Jones?
Tommy Lee Jones' character.
Okay, K's retired. Zed's Rip Torn's character, isn't it?
Right.
So, yeah, Tommy Lee Jones is retired.
Maybe I have seen it then.
Yeah, maybe that's what I was thinking. Have I seen it? I'm not sure. The 3 is the one where they travel back in time and Josh Brolin plays a young version of him.
Oh, yes. I remember seeing the trailer and thinking this looks pretty good, but never actually then seeing it.
Oh, yeah, I've not seen 2. I've definitely not seen 2.
I'm sure he's due to retire at the start of the first one, Tommy Lee Jones' character as well.
I think he retires at the end of the first one.
Right.
Because it says here, 5 years after the retirement of Agent K, and it's 5 years after the last film, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, because it's Lara Flynn Boyle and Johnny Knoxville.
He's in the first one, isn't he?
He's got a different role in addition to the role he was in the first one.
Ah.
And Rosario Dawson and, yeah.
Why? Oh, no. It's... Yeah, why was he in that before Jackass? I just thought he did nothing. But it's not the case. It's not. I genuinely thought Jackass was his thing.
He was like a He was an actor. But yeah, I think he was like brought in to Jackass to be the presenter and then got more involved.
That's so
than intended,
weird.
I think.
I've never like looked into that aspect of it, but that, I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
He's just a creator. It was creators of Johnny Knoxville, Spike Jones, and Jeff Tremaine. Because essentially what it is
skating videos.
Skating videos, yes. It's the bailing on skating videos. It's like the videos of people hurting themselves doing skating tricks.
Hmm.
Yeah, anyway.
I used to love Jackass.
I hated it.
I honestly liked all them as like characters as well. Like, I thought they were all great.
I mean...
I think, honestly...
I'm not sure I hated it as I maybe hated some people on it.
Who didn't you like? Give us a name.
I can't remember.
Steve-O? Bet you didn't like Steve-O.
No, I think Steve-O is probably one of the nicer ones of the people on it.
Mm, okay.
Hating it may have been an overstatement, but... But yeah,
well into that show.
Yeah, it was. I think I was maybe a little too old to be in the target audience.
I even filmed some of my own stuff back in the day.
That's pretty believable.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure like a lot of people did the same.
Oh yeah, people.
There we go.
Other people got TV programs out of it.
That's true. Oh, I used to get so hyped for watching Jackass. Honestly, I used to get so excited. I used to hate when it used to be a repeat because MTV could never be reliable with its running order. So I would sometimes get repeats and I would be like, oh, damn it. Interesting.
Anyway, that was not in 97 though. That's 2000s.
No.
Yeah, it's probably nothing more early 2000s than Jackass. Man V 1192, Zio Reimer, Project Hades. This was 14th of July again, 1997. I remember this sitting on the shelves a lot as well. For decades, the Secret Steel Dragon Society has been slowly building its power, ready for the moment when they will strike from their bases using Hakeshu. 8 giant robots with the power to destroy entire cities, but one Hakeshu is missing. The largest and most powerful, the Zio Reimer. Before the Steel Dragons can take hold of the world, the Zio Reimer and its pilot must be annihilated. Dude, where's my Hakeshu? So this was originally released in Japan in 1998 to 1990 as 4 OVAs. And this is another UK dub. Ever see this, Anthony? Or are you much like me?
No,
not seen any of these.
Certainly
things?
Not. And I don't. There's something about it I dislike. I don't know. Just looking at it now, I don't think it's my cup of tea. Especially the way the story sounds. I don't know.
The robot looks fine. Looking at the toys of the robot, at least.
Yeah, there's some other pictures where it looks good, and then like the design. I don't know. Maybe this isn't the design I'm looking at.
Next up was Volume 2 for 1193, and then 1194 was the Macross Plus movie, which came out on the 13th of October 97. And as we know from our bitter experience, it's a very different experience to the OVAs. I think you were the only one who was happy watching the OVAs when we did the podcast on it, weren't you?
Yeah, because
me and Leon had watched the movie, and then me and Grace had wished we'd watched the movie.
That's correct. That's right. I knew there was, and I was just fine with the OVAs because I was super into it. I'm fine with both.
I should probably get the movie again at some point on the digital media because I threw the VHS out ages ago. Then 1195, as far as I know, were nothing. And the last thing tonight is Man V 1197, Red Hawk, 10th of November 1997. This is another Korean animation with a ridiculously long Synopsis. Terror and chaos reign in the land of Chung Won. Camellia Blossoms, the most powerful of the warring gangs, use this time of unrest to wrestle control of the country from the ailing people's government, producing counterfeit gold coins to cripple the struggling economy. Within the Camellia Blossoms gang, a group known as the Five Dragons is being trained to kill in martial arts. Two brothers, Dang Liang and Muk Liang, belong to the group, but Dang Liang, with the aid of his elder brother, escapes. In relation, the group punishes Muk Liang. They take control of his mind and body. He will be their weapon of death. I've probably murdered the pronunciations of those Korean names.
Nah, they were... I'm going to say they were perfect.
Okay. Probably as perfectly as the dub get their names. This originally came out in 1995. It has an anime's dub again, and I've not seen it, and probably never will. I had heard of it, though.
Yes, and I'm sure I've seen like the cover. I've definitely seen this stood somewhere, dominating the shelf somewhere. I don't think it'd be too bad, you know. Honestly,
he's got like a superhero thing. He's like wears a mask. He becomes the Red Hawk.
Yeah.
Then,
so not green lighting that one then.
No, not green lighting that one. Add in the charts this week. Number one was Barbie Girl by Aqua.
Great song.
Which I think in my head I thought would have happened much earlier than end of 97, but it's probably me getting old.
You think like a 94 time. 94.
Yeah, but I think that's just me getting old. Because I bet Wigfield hasn't even happened yet.
What's Wigfield?
Saturday Night by Wigfield.
Oh, right.
Oh, no, that was 93. There you go. That's what I'm thinking.
They are similar in...
Yeah.
Whatever it is they're doing.
Eurodance.
I used to love Aqua, though. Yeah, that's the one, Eurodance. Dr. Jones, great song. Remember the cartoons?
I do remember the cartoons, yes.
Because that was a similar style, isn't it?
Yeah, they were doing a cover, though, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Wonder what they're doing now. Probably doing, like, one-off shows where they go to, like, a student union dressed up in their old clothes and sing that one song.
But they're surely that's passed them by as well at this point. 'Cause surely...
Well, interestingly enough, Wikipedia says years active, 96 to 2006, then comma... 2018.
They're back, baby.
They must be back together.
Or one of them. What a year. One of them has restarted the band with an entirely different set of members.
Yeah. Oh, and one of them passed away in 2016. Oh, God.
What was their hit? Witch Doctor. That was it.
Witch Doctor.
Wasn't a number
one. Eurodance cover of a 1958 song. It could be number one because it's 1998, that song.
Yeah, number two.
Oh, damn it. Damn.
No, I did not like the cartoons.
I least love that song.
I mean, I like that song, but I don't necessarily like... I mean, they're just disturbing to look at.
Their outfits are so... beyond strange. One of them's made of licorice. One of them's got that licorice sweet with the pink on the top, the licorice in the middle, and the white underneath is his hair.
True, yes.
I don't know what that one's called. And he's playing a cow, like an accordion, and squeezing its udder as it... However you play them things. Wow. But I liked Aqua.
You did like Aqua.
I did. I thought Aqua were good. Yeah. She, the Aqua lady, I can't remember her name. She wrote lots of songs, if I recall. What was her name? I'm sure she wrote music for other acts.
She is Lene Nystrom.
What else she wrote? She's been in films. Wow.
Are you thinking of her, or are you not getting her mixed up with somebody else?
Nah, I'm sure she wrote something. Something famous. Discography. What would it be under?
Well, I would have thought it would be on her Wikipedia, and it does not seem to be.
Lenny Ryder. It's going to bug me now. Songs written by... maybe it's not her.
But I know there is somebody from a similar sort of career who has done that, and I can't remember who it is myself.
Or maybe I'm thinking it's the writer of Turn Back Time. You know the Aqua song Turn Back Time? No.
Is it? No,
yeah,
I don't
Turn
know
Back
that song.
Time by Aqua. If only I could turn back time. The writer of that is someone good. So maybe it's just not her whatsoever.
Half remembered musical facts here.
Yeah. Dawn. But there you go. That's my memory of those folks.
Songwriters of that are Soren Rasted and Klaus Norrie.
They're the Aqua folk.
Who are two guys from Aqua. So yeah, I think you're wrong on that as well.
Yes. God damn it. I need to know. One of them's done stuff. But I don't know which one or whether it's from... Someone somewhere has wrote good music. And I don't know where or who.
Betty Boo, she's one of the people. Kathy Dennis, she's another one of those sort of 90s pop star who then had a career of writing bigger hits for people who came later.
We'll never know because it's too big of a rabbit hole to dive
in. It is,
really.
Yes. I didn't even mention that giant robot program I struggled to remember in the Batman thing. But when I looked it up, didn't mention it in the podcast, never mind. American Werewolf in Paris was the number one film in the UK box office. That surprised me because I believe people think that's a terrible film. And that was the second week it had been number one.
Ooh. I've never seen that one, I don't think.
Have you seen American Werewolf in London?
I feel like I've seen one of them, but I never know which. Is London a good one, is it?
London's the good one, yes.
Right, maybe it's Paris that I've seen then. honestly, I've definitely saw one. Oh, yeah, I've definitely not seen London because it's 1981. And the one I've saw looks a lot more recent. So it must be Paris, unless there's more of them.
No, that's your lot.
Oh, darn.
It has a 7% score on Rotten Tomatoes.
7%? Gosh. Pretty low.
But I guess it came out... It must have been a Halloween release. Yeah, that's why it was number one the previous week. Why it was number one the second week, I don't know. But... There you go. Obviously, even in 1997, you could release a crappy horror movie and still do well in the box office.
To show you.
It is nowadays. You don't have to leave it till Halloween, though, do you? You can get away with it all year round.
Oh, there's not many horror... I don't think there's many cinema-released horror films that I notice at the cinema. I mean, there's a lot of horror films, like big-budget ones.
There's been one in the past month or so.
Is that A Quiet Place, yes. Is this? That's meant to be pretty good as well.
It is, yeah.
Have you seen it?
No, but I'm saying, yes, people say it's pretty good.
Thing is, I need to see it in the cinema, though. Because apparently the whole like audio direction of it is a big deal.
I've also heard the opposite.
Oh, really?
Is that it's too quiet, and therefore any slight murmuring from the audience ruins it for you.
Ah, right. Okay.
I think it all depends on how lucky you get with your audience.
On the whole, I don't know whether it's a northern thing, but I find northern audiences so good. Whereas when I hear stories about other people having bad cinema experiences, they're never in the north. It's always down south somewhere.
I mean, I heard one thing in the north, Anthony.
Go on.
That there was somebody who wouldn't stop yawning all the way through a Steins Gate film. Terrible behaviour.
Well, it wouldn't have been me.
No, it was me.
Oh, of course, yes, because it was screened in the... Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, you're a Southerner, though, bringing in your bad habits. Good Northern cinema goers.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm a Southerner to you. I'm a Northerner to where I am to people where I am now. But...
Oh, that debate.
It's Southern, North and South is... I think someone physically... So the midpoint of the country is like on the M6, just as you're about to turn into the Birmingham NEC, I believe, based on populations.
There's always a lot of controversy with.
It's like, is it geographic or is it population density, or is it just
where people fancy?
Yes, where people fancy claiming they are North. Also, sometimes it's hard to tell where, because it's like I always think, oh. I used to, like, for so long, I think, oh, because I'm in the south of Lincolnshire. I was from the south of Lincolnshire. I think, oh, I must be south of a lot of all these places we get the news from. But no, it's, like, north of a lot of those places. We were, like, at the top end for central TV's coverage. But, yeah, what do you think?
I think your local news should decide. Yeah. So
look north is what our local news was eventually. Yeah.
Really? Oh yeah. Well, maybe that can't decide then. it doesn't fit into my what I'm fighting for here.
No, I'm afraid depending on which direction your aerial was pointing in Spalding, you were either look north or you were central or you were Anglia. But I think specifically we're supposed to be covered in the look north. In the Yorkshire region. It's just we were so at the bottom of, yeah, we used to be able to get like 3 different ITV channels when you had the regional variations more.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it's like we could get a good signal on Yorkshire and Central, but it's like if you want to watch Jason the World Warriors, you have to like really tune into Anglia because for a while they were the only place showing Jason the World Warriors. So you have to like watch it in very fuzzy.
I remember
fuzzy.
Tuning into channels and stuff. It's weird.
It is. Well, you still have to do it every so often where they change all the settings on the digital transmitter.
Yeah.
But thankfully, most of the time now TVs are quite good and say, "Oh, I can't get any of these channels. Do you want to retune it for you?" But yeah, it was like a literal news item. A few weeks ago, saying, remember to change your channels later tonight because we're completely changing the order of things on the local transmitter. Another good north and south thing, Anthony, is mushy peas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Obviously, I know what mushy peas are, whereas...
Exactly. Whereas I know people... I went going to work in... when I had my industrial placement in Hemel Hempstead, there was people who had no idea what mushy peas were.
Oh, it's mental. Not even just under a different name either.
No, at the time I went to Guildford asked for mushy peas for my fish and chips, and all they'd taken was garden peas and put a fork to them. I was like, that's not mushy peas. Yes.
You don't do that.
Or when I got mushy peas at the BFI, and it was a little bit better, but it was more like a pea pate than proper mushy peas.
And mushy peas make fish and chips just brilliant.
Exactly.
I've got to be honest. They are fantastic.
Righty-ho, that's all the North-South divide put to rest.
Yeah.
Politics sorted, royalty sorted. We covered everything tonight, Anthony. What are we back next week with? Let me take a look at the old schedule. And the bad news is we've not recorded it yet, so this is open to change. According to my list, next week is the anime dog draft.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else that we're yet to record.
Yes, it may be that, because that may get slotted in beforehand.
Yeah.
But currently on the schedule is Anime Dog Craft. The other thing, which is Little Witch Academia, we scratched from the schedule, but it's now back on the schedule, but it isn't sitting on a release date yet. But yeah, so the current plan, Anime Dog Draft, where we'll be picking from all of anime's dogs, 12 dogs each to take to Anime Dog Poker. We'll see you then. Goodbye.
Goodbye.